commence our meeting tonight with the hymn number 100 in our hymn book on the screen as well. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee, thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me, victim led, thy blood was shed, for there's no load for me. 100, we'll stand as we sing together. Still our hearts in God's presence as we come before the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we bow in thy holy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do thank thee, O God, that we're privileged to be in your house tonight, to be among your people in this the evening of thy day. And Lord, we thank thee, O God, that you've brought us together to listen to thy word, to sing the songs of Zion, to make praise to thy holy name. We thank you for these words we've been singing tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. And O God, we rejoice in all that Christ has accomplished for us. And we praise thee, O God, for that sacrifice that was made for sin, that once for all sacrifice, that all sufficient sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life, a ransom for many. We thank thee, O God, tonight for amazing grace. And we rejoice, O God, that that grace has reached us. And many in this meeting tonight, many listening to this service tonight, have experienced the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that tonight, O God, thou wilt work, and that thou wilt come, and that thou wilt answer prayer here in this building tonight. As thy word goes out, that thou wilt speak to souls about eternity. Speak to them about their needs. Speak to them about their sin. Speak to them about their own mortality. And cause them to think tonight and to make preparation for eternity. 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 Where will they be in eternity? Oh God, we pray tonight that souls will prepare to meet their God. We pray for backsliders, those maybe who once sat amongst us, who once prayed with us, who once praised the name of God with us, and yet tonight finds them far from thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bring them back, even to their first love tonight. Move across our land and our sister congregation. Everywhere the gospel is truly preached across this province and beyond in this island and this nation and throughout the world, that thou wilt speak and that thou wilt move and that thou wilt answer prayer and bring many into the kingdom of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Remember the sick amongst us, Lord, those who would normally gather and were faithful, but tonight finds them unwell and unable to come. We pray that thou wilt be with them, and that thou wilt bless them, some on holiday, refresh them, bring them back to us. Others going through various procedures in the incoming week, that thou wilt be with them and bless them. And Lord, that they may know the healing hand of God upon them and restoring to wanted health and strength. Hear us now and bless us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll sing the hymn 90. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim, yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. Number 90. And we will stand after the introduction and sing together. As I said, in recent weeks, I intend to be visiting every member and attender of our church over the next few months. And during one of these visits, I was asked to, in a certain way that I couldn't refuse, this person said to me, "I want to ask you one favor, Mr. Smiley, before you finish. I want you to sing." Now, this is a request, so this is the one and only time I'll be singing again before I leave as regards singing a solo. But knowing the person and having such respect for that person, I couldn't refuse them. So here I am. My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding ever upward. This troubled world is not my final home. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home. The things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall they're borrowed for a while. And things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember there will only bring a smile. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. This weary world, with all its toil and struggle, may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. Now this is the final piece tonight. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story, say.
grace, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday my earthly house will fall, I cannot tell how soon 'twill be, but this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy-tinted west, my blessed Lord shall say, well done, and I shall enter in to rest. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trim and burning bright, that when my Savior opes the gate, my soul to him may take its flight. And I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace.
What a day that will be when we see the Saviour and we see those that have gone before and meet him and all of them in the glory land. What a day. We welcome you all to our service tonight. Those listening in, and we trust the Lord will bless all who've gathered with us tonight. Do you remember the basket at the exit for your offerings? Missionary Council offering basket is separate. Do please pick up on that as well. Tuesday at 8 p.m., a meeting for Bible study and prayer, and we emphasize the need for prayer for our Sunday service next week, of the children taking part, Sunday morning service, our Children's Day service, and prize giving for the boys and girls and for all who gather, and also for our drive-in services. Little invites are there, and do please, and many have said they are going to do an area or whatever, if you indicate that. Or if you've indicated, please take what you need for to do that. And remember that, please. And also the Holiday Bible Club from the 4th to the 8th of July, with our brother Robert McConnell, and Mark and Joanna are preparing for this. And do please help out if you can. Maybe it's one day you can help, or 2 days, or all of the days. That would be appreciated each morning, 10:45 to approximately 12 noon. So remember that, please, and make those meetings widely known. It's already up online for that to advertise it. So please remember it in your prayers. And if you can help in any way, your help would be very much appreciated. That's Tuesday night for prayer time and other matters, of course, as well. Friday night, the clean up at the church, 6:30, for those who are able-bodied and are available. And we'd appreciate your help at that time on Friday night, from 6:30 onwards. Next Lord's Day, as we've said, the Sunday school will meet at 10, and then the morning service will be given over to the children who will be participating and our sister, Miss Christina Logan from our mission board, of course, who works among children in Northern Ireland, amongst boys and girls and young people. She will be here to speak the morning service. There will be a prize giving at the end for the boys and girls as well. Do remember this service much in your prayers. The prayer meeting beforehand at 11. The evening time, 6:30. The prayer meeting and the gospel service. Myself will be the preacher, the Lord willing. And do plan to be along. Remember all who are sick and those I know some are going through procedures this incoming week. Would appreciate your prayers that the Lord will touch them. Even tomorrow, I know of one man who's going through procedure tomorrow, and do pray for him that the Lord will touch him and that he will get through that procedure successfully and fully recover from it. The drive-in services, as we've said, will be at the end of the month right through the Sundays of July as well. Six Sunday evenings in the gospel. We appreciate our brother Ken again making available his trailer for this and the men who have helped us and setting it all up, and we appreciate that, and we look forward to the first Sunday evening. Brother Bill, one of our elders, will be testifying, and Joe and Susan will be ministering in song. So please remember that first Sunday night, and then each Sunday night following, of course, there'll be different people singing, and you could be laid hold upon suddenly for your testimony. So be careful you don't speak too long to me in the next period, because you could be asked to give a word at the open air, and this will be the last time I'll have to twist your arm. So do remember that, but seriously pray that God will bless and work through the preaching of the word during the weeks of July, and others will come in, and the invites, as we've said, make it a matter of prayer to give these out for that. I think those are all the announcements we do have to make. Just mentioned this morning that we have some young men who have been accepted into college for training. Three young men been accepted on Friday night. Another man who's experienced. He is coming into college as well as an extern student initially. So do pray for these men that God will guide them. And two men are due to finish. Brother Stephen Crawford and her brother Jonathan Story are finishing, God willing, in the next number of weeks. So do pray that God will bless and work even for his honour and for his praise and glory through our college. Remember the Reverend McRae as he is leaving Carrickfergus, and he is moving then to Ballinahinch to take up the ministry there, and that will happen on the 8th of July. So he's going to get in before the 12th, and so do remember our brother as he takes up the ministry there. As I said this morning, I thought I was retiring, but then I discovered getting another job to do in Carrickfergus even before I finish here. But after I finish here, I'll be involved there to try and get them a new minister. So I'm not fully retiring, but like to be usable in the hands of the Lord. A minister never retires until the Lord calls him home fully. He may retire for the pastorate, but not fully. But do remember the work there in Carrick and our brother as he goes on to a new charge for the Lord. We're going to sing together the words of a hymn now before we come to the reading and then the preaching of the word. O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God hath died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified. There's some wonderful hymns in our hymn book. And sometimes we don't sing them. And we need to sing different ones. And maybe this is one that we haven't sung recently or maybe for a long time. But we're going to sing and think about the words as we sing them. Remember also tonight the youth rally for the young people there in Port of Ogie at 8:45, and next Sunday night at 9 o'clock in Martyrs Memorial. These are the final youth rallies for until September, October time after the summer. Do remember these meetings for young people as well. We're going to stand after the introduction and sing this hymn together. Thank you.
We're reading together tonight from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and reading from the opening verse. Mark, chapter 2, and the verse number 1. And again he entered, that's Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. May God bless to us the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Let us all unite in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the concluding moments of our service. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak again tonight from Mark's Gospel in the series we've been going through in this wonderful gospel. Tonight the subject is the man who was let down and raised up. The man who was let down and raised up. The basis of the message is here in Mark chapter 2, and the verses we've read from, verses 1 to 12. The mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ is displayed and demonstrated throughout his earthly ministry, healing the sick, causing the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear, and the dead to be raised. And here in verse 1 we read that again he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum. Capernaum came to be known as his city. It seemed to have been the headquarters from which he conducted his greater Galilean ministry. Many of his healing miracles took place there, and people were amazed at what the Lord Jesus Christ was able to do. But however they were astonished at what he did, they were not moved to conversion. The Son of God was right there in their midst, but for most of the part, they were unresponsive to the words and to the works of Jesus Christ. It's possible, my friends, for a city to have miracles take place in its midst and yet to be indifferent. It's a serious thing when a city or a region has had the Lord Jesus Christ in its very midst and yet does not believe on him. Later on, Jesus pronounced a curse upon Capernaum. Although the city would exalt itself to heaven, he said it would be brought down to hell. Matthew chapter 11. And so now when we come to the edge of the Sea of Galilee, they show you the ruins of the city of Capernaum. And maybe you've been to that region and seen it for yourself. It's a pile of rubble, brick and stubble, because its inhabitants did not know when their moment of opportunity had come. Jesus was in their midst, but yet they rejected him. And here Jesus came back to Capernaum, and word got out that he was there. Verse 1. Immediately a crowd gathered and completely filled the house where Jesus was. Verse 2. People were standing in the doorway. We would say people were everywhere. There were those outside looking in, unable to gain entrance. And the greatest thing that could happen to any church or any region or any home even, is for word to get out that Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ is in the midst. If word got out that the Lord Jesus Christ was in this church tonight, well, we believe he is, of course, by the Spirit of God, then the church would draw people. There's a drawing power about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John chapter 12 and verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." It's not so hard to gather a crowd. There are lots of people in this world can gather a crowd. Some strange people can gather crowds. Artists and jugglers and musicians and singers of all types. People that do all sorts of outrageous things, and yet they gather a crowd. What did Jesus do when he gathered a crowd? The Bible tells us here, he preached the word unto them. Music is fine, and we have enjoyed the playing of our brother's music tonight, and we always do. And the piano too, when Heather's with us playing on the piano. And other musicians who come and display their musical talents. The purpose of gathering a crowd in the house of God primarily is not the music. It's part of the worship, of course, but it's not the primary, it's not the paramount thing. The paramount thing is the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher. He was a preacher of the word. In Mark 1 and 14 we read, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. That is, making a proclamation, a public announcement. For Jesus was a preacher. And Jesus was a preacher of the gospel, a preacher of the word of God. And he was feeding the people to whom he spoke with the word of God. And we must always remember, dear friends, that the reason of our gathering together is that the word of God might be preached. My task from my very first time going into a pulpit was to preach the word. And I've been doing it, friends, since I was 16. And you probably all know what age I am now. Or you've guessed it. You could ask Bill afterwards. He'll tell you what age I am. But anyway, there you are. Time has passed, but we are still preaching the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching in this house. And notice from this context, several characters begin to emerge. There are word pictures here that emerge from the scene where Jesus was preaching the word in this house. And I want to emphasize three tonight. First of all, the man. Verses 3 to 12 reveal the man here. We've read about it earlier in the service. Here we have a man who was very sick. He had a serious sickness, verse 3. He was sick of the palsy. Five times in this passage, the Bible says this man was sick of the palsy. The word that's used here for this is the one from which we get our English word, paralytic. It means to be loosed on one side or unable to move. On one side, this man was crippled. He couldn't walk anywhere on his own. He was totally dependent on others to carry him wherever he went. And of course, to be physically paralyzed is a terrible condition, and many in this world suffer from a dreadful paralysis. But my friend, it's a picture of a terrible condition spiritually. This man's condition is a picture of spiritual paralysis. You think of someone who's an important job in this world, a very responsible job, and maybe a top job. And yet this person is morally paralyzed. For sin has crippled their life. In the Old Testament, we have the story of one of the grandsons of Paul, a man called Mephibosheth. He was crippled. In a time of war, the nurse who was caring for him, and she was rushing, and she picked him up, and in haste, as she was running, she dropped him, and he became lame on both his feet. He was crippled because of a fall. Let me repeat that. He was crippled because of a fall. And that's the situation with all of us. We are spiritually crippled because of the fall. In Genesis chapter 3, we are told of the sin of Adam and Eve. When they rebelled against God and they took of the forbidden fruit, and sin passed upon all men. For we are the descendants of a fallen race. The human race fell. And in their fall, we are all spiritually crippled. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You see, we're without strength. And that's the condition of all mankind. No matter how educated people may be, no matter how cultured they may be, no matter how religious they may be, no matter how sophisticated they may be as far as the world is concerned, no matter how rich they may be, no matter what position they may occupy in this world or what power they may wield in this world, spiritually, as far as God is concerned, or without strength. The sickness of this man. You have a spiritual sickness tonight. Without Christ, and you're without strength. And then I want you to see, secondly, the source of this sickness in verse 5. And the words from the Lord Jesus Christ here reveal the source of this sickness. "Some thy sins be forgiven thee." You see, this man was crippled because of spiritual reasons. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, sickness, let me hasten to add, is not always the result of sin. In John chapter 9, for example, we read about the man who was born blind, and the disciples asked the Lord Jesus and said, "Master, who did sin this man or his parents that he was born blind?" And the Lord Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents." This man was not afflicted in this way because he was a sinner. But in another passage, in John chapter 5, verse 14, there was a man crippled, and Jesus said to him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." And here in Mark chapter 2, this man was physically sick because of sin in his life. The Lord said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." He was also a young man, for Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And there are many cases of diseases in the body because people are living in immorality today. And people are living immoral lives. And there are consequences for that. You cannot disobey God's moral law with impunity. There are always consequences for living a life of sin. And the Bible says this to all of us tonight in Numbers 32, verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. God has given us the right to make choices. He made us with the ability to obey or disobey His laws. We don't have to obey His laws. But the Bible also is clear that when we disobey the laws of God, we will suffer the consequences. That's what the Bible says. And here's this man in a terrible predicament. And tonight, without Christ, you're in a terrible predicament. Terrible predicament. The man. But I want you to see then, secondly, the man. Verses 4 to 5. We have four men coming towards this house, carrying this man who was paralyzed. And they heard that Jesus was in the house, and the message had reached them. And that's where you and I come in tonight. Many people will never come to Jesus unless somebody brings them. It's our job to go out where people are and to bring them to Jesus. Now, in many instances, friend, and I have to say this tonight, the church has lost this vision. The church has lost this vision. We expect people just to come into church. And I know it does happen sometimes. But we have got to go and get them and bring them in. That's what happened here. That's what happened here. Sometimes churches get the idea all they have to do is put up signs and use their adverts to get people in. I know the Lord uses that, and the Lord does. But the Bible nowhere says that sinners are to come to church. Everywhere in the Word of God it is clear that the church is to go where sinners are. We have to go out and reach them and bring them in. That's what happened here. That's what happened here. Here is a beautiful picture of the responsibility of every child of God, every last one of us, to get involved, to be engaged in going out where people are, who are paralyzed by sin, and bring them to Jesus. I want you to see what the Bible says here about their persistency. In verse 4, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." You see how persistent they were. They could not get near to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the crowd that crammed into that house. No way through by means of the normal entrance to this house. But in those Oriental homes, of course, they had an outside stairway where you could go up onto the flat roof of the house. And that's what they did. And so these four men, making great effort and using all of their energy, they carried this paralyzed man up the stairway onto the roof, and then they uncovered the roof, quite literally. They dug it up, or they broke it up, as the Bible says here. And these men had a man who needed the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem was to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ somehow. And there they were on the top of the roof. And what could they do but dismantle the roof? You can imagine how the people down below would have thought when they looked up and saw this roof dismantling. And probably bits of rubble falling down on their heads. And here are these people, so persistent, so diligent, so determined to let this man down and to get this man where Jesus was. Maybe you need to do that with your son tonight. Or your daughter. Or your loved one. I speak to myself.
I need to do that with my loved ones. Get them to where Jesus is. Get them to where Jesus is. It's not easy to get people to Jesus. When you start the work of soul winning, all the forces of darkness and evil and hell will come against you. You will have to face difficulties and obstacles as you seek to get people to Christ, as these men had difficulties here. They had obstacles. You'll have to raise some roofs in order to get people to the Lord. You need to do something difficult, out of the ordinary, maybe something irregular, to get people to the Lord. Paul said, by all means, I save some. By all means. Paul was engaged in evangelism, and so are we. These are not regular times. These are not normal days. The powers of the devil are making their final onslaught before Jesus comes again. The devil is at large, my friend. We need to be working. We need to be laboring. We need to be persistent, as these four men were. The Bible doesn't mention their names. It doesn't mention their names. How many unnamed people in the Bible did God use? You think about that. Study it for yourself. And here are four unnamed people. They weren't interested in their own ego. They weren't interested in that. They were interested in getting this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can imagine the reaction of the people inside. But I can be absolutely sure that the heart of the Lord was overflowing with joy when he saw the persistency of these men to bring their friend to him. He saw their fervency, he saw their faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased with the efforts of these men. Their persistency. I want you to see their prospect. And with the eye of faith, they saw what the Lord could do for this man. They believed the Lord could deliver this man. They believed the Lord could transform this man. The Lord already healed one man who had the palsy in Matthew chapter 4. No doubt they thought that what he had done for that man, he could do for this man. You know, a saved life is a testimony to every person that if he did it for A, he can do it for B. If he did it for that other lady there, or that man down there, or that young person over there, he can do it for another person. And we should be filled with that spirit of expectation, the faith that is willing to break down the barrier. And these men were willing to break through barriers. Theirs was a faith that could overcome every difficulty. Theirs was a faith that understood that what was important, which is more important, a roof or a man? And these four men understood what was important. Too many people are more interested in the place instead of the people. They're more interested in the loveliness of the service than they are in the lostness of people. And you know, sometimes people say, and they mean it with all good intention, but they say, oh, that was a lovely service. Oh, you know, friend, it hits me to my very heart. A lovely service. I don't want people to feel like that. I want people to feel their lostness when they hear the gospel. Unsaved people I'm speaking about. That's what needs to happen. Think of these four men. Their names are not mentioned, but if you were to name them tonight, we could call one Faith, Mr. Faith. He had heard what Jesus had done. He believed Jesus could heal this man. Then the second man, we could call him Mr. Hope. He believed there was hope for this man. The third man, we could say, call him Mr. Love. He loved this man so much that he was anxious to get him to Jesus. And then you could call the fourth man Mr. Determination. He was determined to work with his three friends to get that stretcher or that bed up there onto that roof and to let it down to where Jesus was. To make all this effort to bring this one soul to Christ. my friend, if I have made one effort in this place over 18 years to bring one soul to Christ, then my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. Oh, that I might bring you to Christ tonight. Dear person listening to this preacher, I might bring you on your bed of sin and bring you to the feet of Christ tonight. I want you to see finally the Master, verses 5 to 12. And we see the Master here. And the Master saw their faith in verse 5. And he looked at this man and said to this paralyzed man, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And he went right to the problem. And the problem that you're facing tonight is not your wife or your husband. Your problem is not your parents. Your problem is not your boss. Your problem is a sin problem. That's your problem. And on the basis of the fact that he would shed his blood, Jesus would declare, "I will put away your sins. I will remove the guilt of your sins." And a sinner can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and because Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross, he can take those sins away and he can remove them as far as the east is from the west. So far that he removed our transgressions from us. He can put them in the depths of the sea, Micah 7:19. He can cover them with his blood. He can hide them behind his back, and he can remember them no more, as Scripture says also. And the scribes were there, the religious leaders of the day. And of course, they were the maintainers of the status quo. And having been sent on an official delegation from Jerusalem to check out this Jesus, perhaps they were squinting their eyes and curling up their noses. Perhaps they were offended by the informality and simplicity with which Jesus was teaching, as well as the common people who were hearing him gladly. And the Lord Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they didn't have the courage to object openly, these religious leaders, of course, although they were objecting in their hearts, verse 7. "And this man speaketh blasphemies. Who can forgive sins but God only?" That's what they said. They were asking the right question, but they arrived at the wrong answer. Of course, only God can forgive sins. But they didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was God. That Jesus Christ had the power to forgive sins. Oh, that you might see the Lord tonight. That you might see the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the center cross at Calvary. Don't look to man, don't look to the preacher tonight, but look beyond the preacher to that cruel tree where Jesus died in order that sinners might be forgiven, that you might be forgiven tonight from all of your sins, past, present, and future, and that you might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Notice the test here. In verses 8 to 11, he proposed a test. He knew what they were thinking. He is God. He knows what we are all thinking. Is it easier to say, verse 9, to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk"? If you say that someone is forgiven, that's invisible. You can't see it. Forgiveness takes place in the heart. It's a healing of the soul. But to say, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk," that's something visible. Jesus was taking their own ammunition and shooting with it. The scribes had a doctrine that no sick person could ever get well until he was forgiven of his sins. So in effect, Jesus said, "All right, I'll prove my power to forgive sins. In the realm of the invisible, by showing you my power in the realm of the visible." That's what the Lord did here. And he disarmed these Pharisees with their questioning against him. Notice the test, but notice the triumph as we conclude tonight. Verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "Immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion." Immediately, on the spot, that's what it means. And that's what Jesus brings, on the spot healing, forgiveness, and salvation.
The little boy had disobeyed his mother, and he got a slate chalkboard and wrote, "Mum, I'm sorry, I was so bad. If you forgive me, wipe it out." And the next time he came by, his mother had wiped it clean. And my friend, a sinner comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned. If you forgive me, wipe me clean." And Jesus has promised to do that. He has promised to wipe the slate clean tonight, to make your heart clean, to take all your sins away. The paralyzed man was healed. The bed that had carried him, he now carried it. Verse 12. This man, who was in an awful condition, God did the miracle. And God raised him up. And God can raise you up tonight from your sin, bring you to Christ. What a triumph. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." There was a public acknowledgement of what the Lord had done. Here was a man who was let down, but he was raised up. For God did the miracle. And God can do the miracle in your life tonight. My dear friend, the miracle of his grace, save your soul. May it be so, for Jesus' sake. We'll sing the words of the concluding hymn, "I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find." Thank you for listening to the service here tonight at Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. And if we can be of help to you, do make contact with us either after the service or by some other means. We're happy to help you and to point you to the one who can meet your need tonight. May God bless you and thank you for listening. We'll sing this concluding hymn and then we'll have the final prayer tonight. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.